Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 27 through 36, and that will be our text for this morning. Luke chapter 6, verse 27, as we come to God's Word, let us first come to Him in prayer, asking His blessing upon the reading and the preaching of His Word. Let us pray. God, this is Your Word. We ask now that You would open our hearts, not only to understand Your Word, but that we would love Your Word. That we would cherish Your Word. That we would desire to do what Your Word commands us to do. And that You would, by Your Spirit, give us the power to do that. Now use me as one You have called to equip these saints for the work of the ministry, to do so at this time through this preached Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beginning now in Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, hear the Word of God. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just, as your Father also is merciful. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. I cannot count the number of times that I have heard my children come running into the room and say, Mom, Dad, so-and-so did such and such to me. And when that happens, my wife and I look at one another with that look that says, do you want to handle this? And the hope is the other person will say, yes, I'll handle it. Sometimes my children even skip the trial. They skip bringing evidence against their sibling. They go straight to the sentence. Dad, will you please come and discipline so and so? Children do this, and I'm sure if you have children, you've witnessed this. But it is not only children who do this. We adults do this as well. We just sometimes do it in a little bit of a sneakier way. At work, you wouldn't go to your boss and run in and say, will you please go tell so-and-so to stop doing this? But you might go and in conversation casually bring it up, hoping that something will be done about it. Or you might gossip to others, hoping that when you speak of it, they will eventually tell it to others and it might get back to the person or back to someone who can actually do something about it. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? We rarely do this because we want what is best for the other person. We don't want to help them overcome whatever difficulty they're facing. No, we most often do this because we want to be vindicated. We want revenge. We've been harmed. And we want the other person to get what they deserve. But as we see here, we are called not to seek revenge. We are called to love others instead. Now, I'm so glad that God does not think like us. Can you imagine what that would look like? Jesus going into the Father every time we sin and saying, Father, so-and-so sinned against you again. Will you go and punish them? But he does the opposite, doesn't he? He goes in and comes before his Father, representing us, and says, so-and-so sinned again. Will you forgive them? Will you show them mercy? Will you pour out your love upon them? Now, this is the secret to loving others. It's not easy to do. How do you love someone who has stabbed you in the back? How do you love someone who has harmed you? How do you love someone who has been unfaithful to you in a relationship? How do you love someone who has betrayed your trust? How do you love someone who has lied about you? Well, the secret to doing this, the way to do this, is that you need to remember that what you have done against God is far worse than anything that anyone will ever do to you. And yet God has shown you mercy. Only then will you really be able to show the same mercy to others. And as Jesus tells us here, only then will you be able to be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. As we come to this portion in Luke, remember that Jesus is preaching to the multitudes. He has, in verses 20 through 26, presented these four blessings and four woes. He's spoken of the blessings that accompany a child of God in this life. He teaches that even though you may be poor and hungry, even though you may weep, even though you may be hated and excluded and reviled, and your name may be cast out as evil, you are blessed because you belong to God. His kingdom is yours. His fullness is yours. His joy is yours, and His acceptance is yours. But even though all that is true, even though you are blessed, you still remain in this world. You still have to live in it. And so Jesus continues on here, and He teaches His disciples, and He teaches us how to respond to the treatment that they will face from the world. And the response is clear. It is always a response of love. What I hope you will see this morning is that Christian love is unlike any love the world has or the world will ever know. Christian love is unlike any love that the world has or the world will ever know. And as we look at what Christian love is and what Jesus teaches us here, I want you to ask yourself this question repeatedly. I want you to ask yourself, is this what my love looks like? Is the way that Jesus describes the love of a Christian the way your love looks? Is this what you are doing in your life? Well, look at four things about this love that Jesus brings out in these verses. First, Christian love is unconditional. Christian love is radical. Christian love is difficult, but Christian love is possible. Christian love is unconditional. Christian love is not an I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back kind of love. We see first that Christian love is not conditioned upon your relationship with others. Jesus begins in verse 27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." It doesn't matter what your relationship is with the other person. You are called to love them. It is not conditioned upon your treatment by others. Notice he goes on in verse 28. "Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you." Those who are acting against you, not only your enemies who hate you, but those who are actively cursing you, for those who are spitefully using you. It goes on in verse 29. "Those who strike you on one cheek, those who take away your cloak." These are those who are treating you poorly. But your love for them is not to be conditioned upon your treatment. Your love is not to be conditioned upon your expectation from others. Notice in verse 32, He says that that's the way the world loves. The world loves those who love them. The world loves those who do good to them. The world is glad to lend to those who will pay them back. But the Christian loves expecting to receive nothing. Expecting to receive nothing. Christian love is unconditional. It doesn't matter who the person is. You're to love even your enemies. It doesn't matter what the person does to you. You are to love them. It doesn't matter if the person is unable to pay you back. You are to love them. But I want to give you a warning here. I don't want you to confuse unconditional love with unconditional acceptance. In our world today, the term acceptance is often confused with love. But unconditional love, Christian love, must always be love that is in truth. The reality is that you can love someone without accepting that person's behavior. And this is important because in our world today, there are many who are openly sinning and want the church to accept that sin. And if we do not accept that sin, we are called unloving. We are called those who will not love the person for who they are. This is especially true when we think of homosexuality. Is a Christian to love a homosexual? I would say yes. A Christian is to love that person. But loving that person does not mean that we must accept that person's behavior. There's a distinction. In fact, loving that person is going to require that we tell them the truth. That we help them to see that the behavior that they are engaged in is not, in the long run, or even in the short term, good for them. So don't confuse unconditional love with unconditional acceptance of behavior. Christian love is unconditional, but Christian love is also radical. It is extreme. Christian love is not just a do no harm. It is not just a live and let live or a tolerate others kind of love. No, it involves a radical attitude. Notice Jesus says of those who curse you and those who spitefully use you in verse 28 that you are to bless them and that you are to pray for them. To bless someone is to want what is best for them. To pray for someone is to seek what is best for them from God. That is the attitude that we are to have, especially to those who curse us, especially to those who hate us and spitefully use us. Praying is one of the best ways to deal with someone who has sinned against you. In fact, if you are angry with someone, if you feel that anger and bitterness welling up in your heart, my encouragement to you is to pray for that person. It is very, very difficult to remain angry with a person that you are praying for. But don't pray a prayer like this. Don't pray, oh God, please help so-and-so not to be so evil and wicked, for you know that they're a horrible person and you know that they've treated me badly and deserve to be greatly punished. Don't preach that kind of prayer. But pray a prayer for their good. If the person is not a Christian, then the blessing that you want to pray for is their salvation. No other blessing matters until that first and most important blessing is taken care of. If they are a Christian, then pray to God that you would be able to be reconciled to them. That God would take the anger and the bitterness from you. And that God would show you how to love them. Even if they use you. Even if they do evil to you. The love is radical. It involves a radical attitude, but it's not simply your attitude. It's not simply about what you think or even what you say, but it is about what you do. John tells us that in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. John says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Indeed and in truth. Christian love is not only radical an attitude, but also radical action. It is what I might call the go the extra mile love. And Jesus shows us here what it means and what it looks like to go the extra mile. In verse 29, to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. That's very difficult to do, isn't it? It's very easy to say that you can do that, but when your cheek is stinging, when it is red, when you have been slapped, when you have been insulted, that is the time when you must offer the other also. And what Jesus is not saying here is that you should put yourself in harm's way, or you should continually take abuse. But what he is saying is that you should not seek revenge. Don't seek revenge. Don't slap the person back. Paul picks this up in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, Paul says that we are to repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not take revenge. Christianity is never one in which we enter into attack mode. We never seek to harm anyone, even when they harm us. Jesus goes on, not only are we to turn the cheek, but we are to give. Verse 30, give to everyone who asks of you. Notice the one qualification that Jesus makes here. The one qualification that Jesus provides for giving to others is simply this, that they have asked you. He gives no other qualification. Have you ever been asked to help but refused? Sometimes we make excuses, and those excuses sound holy. They sound biblical. For example, perhaps you've been asked to help and you think, I'm not going to help because if I help this person, it may be enabling them. But I will warn you about this. Do not use high-sounding excuses as a cop-out, as a way to avoid helping others. Jesus is clear here. Give to everyone who asks you. Give to everyone who asks you. But he goes on. He says, not only giving to everyone who asks of you, but, in verse 30, from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. In verse 29, the one who takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic also. In other words, give more than an individual takes from you. I don't know if you've ever had anything stolen from you. Perhaps you have. If you have, you know that it is not a good feeling. What is the natural reaction when you realize that someone has robbed you? It's probably anger and maybe fear. But Jesus says here, no. We must not be angry. We must not be afraid. But we must be concerned for the other person. We must give them the shirt off of our back. In verse 29, if they take away your cloak, that's like your coat. If they take away your coat, then give them your shirt also. Maybe they need it more than you. If someone steals something, have you ever been concerned about them? Have you ever been concerned to ask, why do they do it? What need brought them to that place where they would feel it was okay to take from someone else? Are you concerned with where they are in their life? Where they might be headed? Are you concerned for their eternal well-being? Jesus says, be concerned for them and do not ask for it back. Don't demand it back from them. Let them have it. These are radical ways of living. This is what Christian love looks like. Then he summarizes it all in verse 31 with this statement. It's commonly known as the golden rule. He says, whatever you do, use this standard. Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. In other words, always treat others as you would like to be treated. The Christian concept of love here is one that is unconditional, and it is one that is radical. But it is one that is very difficult to do. Christian love is difficult. It's difficult because it is not what we as sinners naturally want to do. Jesus brings this out. In verse 32, sinners love those who love them. In verse 33, sinners do good to those who do good to them. In verse 34, sinners lend to those who receive back. In other words, sinners love. Sinners do good. Sinners give in order to receive. But it ought not to be so for the Christian. It's difficult, though, because it's not what we naturally want to do. We know that sin is in us. We have to war against that. But it's difficult because it's going to require you to deny yourself. You're going to need to deny those sinful tendencies. Those tendencies not to want to love the other person. You're going to have to deny your self-protective tendencies. You may think, I don't want to get hurt again. I'm not going to put myself in that situation. And you're going to have to deny your selfish tendencies. You're going to have to deny the desire not to invest time in that person because you want to spend that time on yourself. It's very difficult to love others, and it's very difficult to love others who are not easy to love. But the call here from the Lord Jesus Christ is that Christians are to love everyone unconditionally, even your enemies, even those who treat you poorly, who curse you, who use you spitefully. You're to love them unconditionally. You're to love them with a radical love. You're to go above and beyond what is required. And this is difficult. You may ask yourself, now, how in the world am I going to accomplish this? Well, there is good news for you if you're a Christian, because Christian love is possible. It's only possible for the true Christian. Jesus is speaking to believers here. Those who are blessed in this world. And it's only possible for true Christians to love because only true Christians have received love. John tells us about this love that we have received in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. In verses 9 and 10, we get what I call this great definition of love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. True Christians know God's love, and because God has loved us, we also ought to love others. And only true Christians are thankful for all that God has given us. Notice that in Luke chapter 6, Jesus in verse 35 says that God is kind to the unthankful and evil. J.C. Ryle says this, that the extent of God's unacknowledged mercies to man can never be reckoned up. Every year He pours out benefits on millions who do not honor the hand from which they came or think to thank the giver of them. Many are not thankful for what God has given them, and yet He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. And you need to understand as a Christian that you do not deserve God's love or mercy. You were an enemy of God. You hated God. You cursed God. You used God. You insulted God. You took His blessings and you refused to thank Him for them. And yet the Scripture is clear. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came, and through Jesus, we still receive the love and the mercy of God. And so, because we have received this love and this mercy, it is always possible for us as true Christians to love others. You will be able to love others because you are your Father's child. Jesus in verse 36 of Luke chapter 6 says, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." He's your Father. In verse 35, you will be sons of the Most High. My sons have recently taken after me in this way. They need to have a fan in their rooms as they sleep. And my wife will say, your children are just like you. And I take that as a compliment. It's a good thing when my children take after me, when they want to do those things that I do. And we are like that and ought to be like that with our Heavenly Father. We take after Him. We are sons of the Most High. He is our Father and He is merciful. And so we ought to be merciful. We know that God is mercy. In Exodus 34 and verse 6, He identifies Himself as the God who is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and compassionate. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8, we learn that God is love. And the greatest example of this love is found in the greatest then revelation of who God is, that is, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Jesus is being crucified. The ultimate slap on the cheek. The ultimate curse being hung on that tree. The ultimate despising. And yet in verse 34 of Luke chapter 23, we read these words from the lips of our Savior. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Such was the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as He hung upon the cross. And we see the example of this, not only in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in those who are His followers. Look with me at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, we read of Stephen, who has been given this great opportunity to proclaim the Word of God. And he gives this great sermon. But then, in Acts chapter 7, in verse 54, we read of the reaction of those who heard him. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. And then dropping down to verse 58, they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. And as he was dying, his last words were, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." That is unconditional, radical love. It must have been difficult, but it was possible for him, and it's possible for you, and it's possible for me. The one great theme that we see here in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36 is love. That is, that Christian love is unlike any love that the world has or ever will know. Jesus is speaking to those who will be persecuted. The context here is one in which they will be hated. They will be excluded. They will be reviled. Their name will be cast out as evil. And yet, Jesus says that true Christians will always respond and seek to respond with unconditional and radical love. As difficult as it may be, because we are children of our Father. And our Father is kind to the unthankful and evil. He is merciful by nature. But you think about what Jesus teaches us here about Christian love. That it is unconditional. That it is radical. That although it is difficult, it is possible. Would you say that that describes your love for others? Is that a love that you are growing in every day? Are you becoming more and more like your Father in heaven? Are you showing more and more mercy to others? If you are not, and you are a Christian, that means that you have more to learn about who God is as a God who is merciful. You have more to learn about who you are as His child. But here's the encouragement. The encouragement is that although this Christian love, this unconditional and radical love is difficult, it is always possible for the true Christian. Because it is a work that happens from the inside out. It is God's Spirit who is working in you and changing your heart. And when you truly know how much love and mercy you have received from God, you will begin to instinctively show that love to others. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we confess that we have not loved others as we should. We need Your help. We need Your Spirit. Help us to do what Jesus instructs us to do. To love others unconditionally, no matter who they are in relationship to us, no matter how they treat us, no matter if we receive anything from them or not. Help us to love others with that radical love that goes the extra mile, that desires the welfare of others over our own. And God, take away the difficulties. Remind us that it is possible because You are our Father. We are Your children. That Your Spirit is working in us to will and to do all of Your good pleasure. Oh, thank You, God, for Your Word. Thank You for the encouragement that it gives to us. And now, use it to strengthen us in faith. That we might be those who do all that You call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.